The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts on chastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we as Christians should be among the most free people that anyone knows. We should be free, free to courageously pursue the good, free to courageously take stands, and we should be increasingly whole and healed. And our freedom should actually, in some ways, be startling. It should be startling in the sense that people become aware that there's something about us that is different. Not in a way that makes them feel small or little, but in a way that wants them, that makes them want to know, why do you live differently? What makes you free? What makes you whole? That's what we as Christians should be in this world. You should be the most free person that the people in your life know. But unfortunately, that's not often the case, because we have an enemy who actively wants to take that away from us. No human being is our enemy, but there is an enemy. And he wants to find a soft spot in your heart, a soft spot in your mind to which attack you and to gain a foothold in your life and from there to conquer you. That is his goal. And he enters into our lives through our woundedness that goes unhealed, through our justifications that we offer for our behavior, for the reasons that we have, some of which we like and cling to, for the reason that we are not better people than we are, and from our sins, especially our habitual sins, the sins that we excuse, our pet sins. It's where the enemy gets in, and that's where he finds a foothold, and that's where he preys on you. And that's the evil within our hearts that defiles us, and often defiles those around us. But brothers and sisters, that's not becoming of the children of God who have been won at great price and who have been rescued to be free and to bring that freedom to others. And so today I want to tell a story about a saint's life that will help us to see what we shouldn't do, but many times do, and to hold up what we should do and how we should live. And the saint I want to examine today is Saint George. And there's not a lot that we know about the life of St. George. We know that he was a Roman centurion, so he was a high-ranking military officer. We know that he died around the year 303, but outside of that, we don't know a lot. But we as Catholics, that is not a problem for us, because when we don't know a lot about a saint, we have some really good legends about them. And we turn to those legends. And those legends themselves are instructive. And so today I want to talk about St. George and the dragon, one of the legends that will help illustrate for us how we shouldn't live and how we should. There was a town in Roman North Africa, in Libya, the town of Cyllene. And Cyllene was besieged by a dragon. A dragon lived in its country and preyed upon them. And so the townspeople of Cyllene, too afraid to go to war against the dragon and to wage battle against it, thought that perhaps they could appease the dragon, that they could manage the dragon, that they could keep it at bay. And so what do? Every day they will offer this dragon 2 sheep, because brothers and sisters, it is an indisputable fact that dragons love sheep. It's in all the literature. It's in every movie. It shows up in the TV shows. Dragons love sheep. So every day they will offer the dragon 2 sheep. But there's a problem. There's a finite amount of sheep in the town of Cyllene. So what happens when they've offered them all to the dragon and there's no sheep left? They want to appease it because they're afraid of it. So every day, instead of 2 sheep, they will offer 2 peasant children. 2 children from among the poor, from among the uneducated, from those that do not have a voice. They will offer 2 children a day to satisfy the hunger of the dragon to save themselves. And so others suddenly become dispensable. But the same problem occurs. There are only so many peasant children in the town of Cyllene. So what happens when they've all been sacrificed? For the people that are wealthy, for the people that have power, for the people that have influence, suddenly it's going to cost them something directly. And they will pay for the consequences of their behavior. And so they cast lots to see who among us is going to offer our children to the dragon to appease it. And one day the lot falls on the king, and the king has 1 child. He has a daughter, the princess, who is the pride of Cyllene. She is beautiful, she is good, she is kind, and people love her. But everyone is too afraid to take her place. And they've become accustomed to trying to manage the dragon. And now suddenly, it's gone from a couple of sheep to a princess about to be killed. How did we get here? Because they had lived in fear. And they thought they could manage evil. And now it's about to consume them. Fortunately for the people of Cyllene, it's at this time that St. George is passing through Libya. And St. George hears of what's going on, and he comes to the city. And St. George does what they should have done from the start. St. George mounts his horse, and he goes out, and he fights the dragon, and he slays the dragon, and he kills it to rescue the princess, to rescue the people, because he is free and courageous and unafraid. And so he can fight it and slay it. And the king is so grateful for the life of his daughter that he offers St. George all of his wealth, anything that St. George could want. And St. George accepts it, but he accepts it for 1 reason, so that he can give everything to the poor, because he's free. And he doesn't do it for wealth. He doesn't do it for honor. He doesn't do it for glory. He does it because as a son of God, he's free. And wants to bring that freedom to others. And he understands that we cannot cooperate, tame, or appease evil. And because of his witness, the whole town of Cyllene converts to Christianity. Brothers and sisters, in my life and in your life, we have some dragons that we try to appease, that we try to satisfy, that we think that we can control. And it starts by feeding it a couple of sheep, but then it escalates to a princess, to those things that we most cherish and love, suddenly they're sacrificed for the sake of our sin, because sin is insatiable. It is never satisfied. It continues to grow and to consume more and more. And we know this because no matter how much we try to hide our sins, our failings, our weaknesses, at some point they come through and they consume more and more of our lives. Brothers and sisters, we cannot manage sin. We cannot manage woundedness. We cannot manage evil. We have to slay it. We have to kill it. We have to desire to be free, because that's what Christ has won for us. But we have to unite ourselves to that victory. We have to imitate St. George. So in all of our lives, there's a dragon that's preying upon us. In the life of your family, there's a dragon that preys upon you. In the life of our world, there are many dragons who seek to devour us. But this world is waiting for Christians freed and strengthened by the love of God, given a spirit of adoption and not cowardice, who go out and fight for freedom. And especially in the lives of our men here, there are dragons in our hearts that our families are waiting for us to slay. There are dragons in the lives of our families that they're waiting for us to slay. There are children and princesses who desire to be saved, and they're waiting for men to slay the dragon. And the first dragon is often within themselves. This homily is not just for the men here, because our world would be a far better place if we had more holy women like St. Joan of Arc, who also put on the armor of God and waged a battle for what is good and beautiful and holy, and by their feminine genius, persevered and triumphed. And we could use more women who pray like St. Joan of Arc, "I am not afraid. God is with me. I was born for this." Brothers and sisters, as St. Paul says, you were not given a spirit of cowardice to fall back into slavery to sin, but a spirit of adoption, a spirit of freedom to slay the dragon. And to slay the dragon, not just in our lives, but that is where it starts, but to slay the dragons that are assailing the people near us. We should be the most free people that those around us know. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. So in this coming week, as we pray, where's the dragon in my life that I need to kill? Where is the dragon in the life of my family that I need to slay? How can I more fully be free as a child of God, and then to help save this world that He loves? Brothers and sisters, God will give us everything we need. But we do have to wake up from the unreality that we cannot manage our sin. We're meant to kill it.